We're having a very special class, never before studied here in our English department, Machon Meir, on the laws of sorcery. We have different terms in the Torah and in Halacha for different types of sorcery. I'm using a general word, sorcery. For lack of a better word, I'm going to translate different things as sorcery, as magic, as demons, even though I think that the terms that we use are inaccurate. When I say a demon, maybe a certain figure comes to mind, this red little thing with horns, or I don't know what. If I'd say goblins, I don't know what you're going to think about. So I don't have good words for it. You know, I'm limited in my English vocabulary. So I'll try to translate as best as I can. This is a very advanced class. You guys decided you want to do this. It will take us, I imagine, a month, once a week on Thursday nights. I invest in 45 minutes to an hour to understand this. I wanted to do it from the tour to the Shulchan Aruch because I don't think you can understand these halachot without seeing the full background. And it's going to involve a lot of to and fro. So this is the perfect time to start studying this almost at midnight. Let's begin. Kosem. So Kosem we might translate as a sorcerer, a magician. Katav HaRambam, Maimonides writes, Zeu Shosem Aseh Ad sheyasum v'tifane machshavto min kol hadvarim ad sheyomar dvarim atidim liyot. A person does something till he can focus his thoughts from everything that's going on and he can tell you what's yet to be. Right? We all know the Rambam that says that much of idol worship and sorcery is fake. Here the Rambam didn't say that. Rambam says it's a way of focusing your thoughts so that you actually know something about what's going to be. The yeshem is shamshim b'chol ba'avanim. There are some sorcerers, magicians, whatever word again we're going to use, that do this with the aid of sand or rocks. The yesh gohir la'aretz v'tzoek. There are those that give out their breath in deep breathing and yell at the ground. V'yesh mi shemistakel b'mara shel barzel. There are those who look in a mirror, mirror, mirror on the wall. O shel hashashit. Others look in a glass ball. U'medamin v'omrin. And then this arouses their imagination, and they tell you what's yet to come. V'yesh mi shochez makel biyado v'nishan alav. There are those who lean on a staff. U'makebo, that's the wand you were talking about, right? And then they bang with it. Ad shetifane machshavto medaber. These are tools used to focus one's thought, and then they speak. V'chad hakosem v'chad hasho'alo asurim. It is prohibited to do these acts of sorcery. It is prohibited to ask someone who does these acts. Ela shakosem loke, vashoeleno loke, av makinato makat mirdut. He who does the act can get lashes for it, and he who asks him does not get the biblical form of lashes, he gets the rabbinic form of lashes, but they're both prohibited. So that is step one. Kosem. We will still revisit this, but now let's go over to the Beit Yosef.
What was the focusing his thoughts?
And the Rambam says these are all ways of focusing thoughts, and if you focus your thought enough and use your imagination, you can actually tap into some strength and know what's yet to come. On some level, it's not accurate, but you can. Doesn't say that.
So fortune telling.
Slowly. We're here to learn. We're not asking questions now. I'm saying questions that are relevant. After we've seen everything we have to see, then we'll see what falls into which.
Like yet to come.
Right, there's a lot yet to come. It's too long. I would do an overview, but it's too long to do an overview, so we have to do it piecemeal. So, the Beis Yosef, Rav Yosef Karo in his commentary, he brings from Rabbeinu Yerucham, he was an early Rishon, who often goes in line with the Rosh, Rabbeinu Yerucham says that he thinks there are also those that make dots in their writing or in the sand. It seems that they also fall on this, under this heading. And the Beis Yosef says, soon I will write, that it also says in the Sifri that you're not allowed to ask questions through drawing lots. Okay? Because the Pasuk says, Tamim tiyeh, be whole with Hashem. And then he quotes from the Smag, there are those who do these acts of kesem, magic, sorcery, whatever you'll call it, when they go on their journey, they check before they leave, they do this sorcery, they take from a wood, a tree, a branch, they peel it on one side, and on the other side they leave the peel. And then he takes it and he tosses it. And if when it lands on the ground, the peel is on top, that's a sign of masculinity. And then he throws it and says another incantation. And then if the white shows up, so he says that's a sign of femininity. So then he says, ah, if man came first and then woman, that's a good sign. Because the first time I said an incantation and it landed with the male side showing, the with the peel, and the second time without, so that's okay. We can't eat pizza here unless you're buying two pies for everyone in the base medrash. It's not fair. Sorry.
I'm listening from you.
That's fine. And then he goes his journey or does what he has to do. And if, when he does this, the white side shows up first and then the peel, the one with the peel, he says, oh no, the female side showed up first, it's a bad sign, I'm not going on my journey today. And if the peeled side showed up twice, or the white side showed up twice, so he says, man after man or woman after woman, that's a mediocre sign. And then they say, okay, then I'll do it. And in the land of Ashkelonia, I don't know where that is, they still do this thing. Before people go on a journey, they actually do this. And because of these acts that are called kisamim, like kesam, like a piece of wood, that's why they are called kosem kisamim. And that's what the Navi in Hosea says, my nation asks his wood, and the staff tells him where to go. So they check with the wood. That's why it's called kosem. Why is it called kosem? Because the word kesam is a piece of wood. And this is the classical form of ksamim. You're checking it out. You want to see if to go your way. Okay. So we just learned the piece on kosem. What? He takes a piece of wood, peels one side, tosses it in the air, and says his incantation, and when it lands, he looks to see if the peeled side came up first, he says, oh, the sign of male came first. Tosses it again, says his incantation, it lands. If the peeled side goes up on top, lands on top, says, oh, the female side came. He says, wow, in that order, I'm sure to succeed in my journey. If it's the opposite order, he doesn't do his journey. If it's two male and two female, then he says, it's a medium sign, I'm okay, I can go. Okay. So that was just step one. That was Rambam that the Tur and the Beis Yosef discussed. The next halacha is Me'onen. What is Me'onen? So here we will see many opinions. We'll begin with the Tur. The Tur says Me'onen zehaochez hainayim. Me'onen is sleight of hand. He makes it seem like he's doing something, but he's really not doing anything, right? So, sleight of hand. You show everyone, I have a coin. You tell them, now, if you take the coin and rub it really well until it slowly disintegrates, that's sleight of hand, because all along it was in this hand, right? I just did this, but it was here. So that's sleight of hand, yeah? You just take the coin. Oops. So that's Me'onen. Me'onen is Ochez Einayim, he makes your eyes. What's the whole trick of sleight of hand? The whole trick of sleight of hand is where you look. You see, there was no coin here. But if I look as though the coin is here, so you look with my eyes. So that's called achizat inayim. We grab the other people's eyes. We make them look in a way that they're convinced that something happened. The coin is here. I didn't take the coin, but if I do this, your eyes go with my eyes, even though the coin's right here. I didn't do anything. But your eyes will naturally, I can grab your focus and shift it so you don't notice what I really did. That's achizat inayim, grabbing the eyes. So me'onen is what's called achizat inayim. Shemidameh, he makes it as if, kiru sema says, though you're doing some magic. Meno seklum, really he's not doing anything. Hilkach en bo'elaisu, that's why really, you can't give a person lashes. We have a rule that in order to get lashes, there has to be a maase. There has to be an action. Lav she'en bo maase, a prohibition that has no action. Over here, he's not really doing anything. It looks like he's doing something. You can't give him lashes over it. V'chein, and this is what people know, but really, the tour gave us the first ruling of what is me'onen. He says another thing is, hamchasheva shot vaitim. Sometimes people calculate, they say, ooh, it's the right time to do something. Lomar. People say, yom ploni v'shaploni t'chol atzit. You want to leave on your journey? You have to go at this day, at this time, then you'll have good luck. So then the word me'onen comes from the word ona, time. Katava Rambam. Me'onen kegonelu shomrim b'tzagninot. Rambam says, what is me'onen? It's like those who look in the stars and they say, yom ploni tov. This day is going to be a good day. Yom ploni roi losot bom lacha plonit. On this day, it's a good day to do this type of work. Chodesh ploni or shah ploni, ra ledavar ploni. The following month or the following hour is a bad time to do this thing. V'asu l'onen, says the Torah, it's prohibited. Even though you'll say, I didn't do anything. I just said what times I think are good for something. No. Here the Rambam says, the Torah prohibited something stupid. The Torah told you, you should know the people who do this are fools. They think this that matters. The Torah told you don't do it even though it's stupidity. The Torah is telling you don't go after the stupidity. And anyone who says, I'm going to do this at this time because the stargazer said so, the astrologer said so, this is when I should start my job, this is when I should go on my journey. Well, if he's going by these astrologers, says the Rambam, he should get lashes. He has transgressed a biblical prohibition. So that we saw on Me'onen, two things. We saw sleight of hand, achizat einayim, and we saw trying to figure out the time, and the Rambam added based on what they think is the understanding of the stars and the times. If it's really pertinent, don't take us off topic. Goodbye. No. Beis Yosef. Me'onen zeochez, you're taking me off topic. Let's understand what it says here. You have another question. Wait. So the truth is, in Tractate Sanhedrin, the Gemara brings a machloket. Rabbi Shimon says, Me'onen is someone who passes seven different types of embalmments over his eyes. That's Me'onen. Chachamim say, Me'onen is he who does achizat einayim, sleight of hand. Rabbi Akiva says, Me'onen is someone who tries to figure out what time of day I should do things, what day of the month is to do things. So Rabbi Akiva is the second opinion we saw, and Chachamim is the first opinion. And in Torat Kohanim, in the Medrash Halacha called Safra de Beirav, in Torat Kohanim it says, Lo ta'oninu, Lo te'onenu, it says in Torat Kohanim, that means ochez einayim. Don't do sleight of hand. So the tour learns that Chachamim and Rabbi Akiva aren't in disagreement. That Rabbi Akiva is saying it's not only what Chachamim said, sleight of hand, it's also if you try to figure out the times. And that's why the tour rules like Rabbi Akiva, because he says both are prohibited. Sleight of hand and to catch the times. And it would seem that Rambam holds that way too. Now, what's not clear is that the tour, it seems, is uncertain whether it has to be that you figured it out with astrology. Because the tour initially says a good time or a bad time. And in the Rambam, he adds the point that if you do it based on astrology, so then it's the prohibition of Monin. So does it have to be based on astrology in order to be Monin? That, says the Beis Yosef, you see, the tour was uncertain about. But it would seem that the tour agrees that you're not allowed to do it based on astrology. So we have three things so far. We have sleight of hand. We have trying to say which time is good for which thing, and doing it based on astrology, which it's not clear. It's not clear, says the Beis Yosef. Now, this should bother us, because it says that until Hashem told Avram, Avram was doing astrology. Avram was not doing idol worship. Yet it says Avram was the master of astrology. So that certainly sounds like there's something there. Rabbi Akiva's daughter is told that she will die the day of her wedding. Rabbi Akiva remembers it. He doesn't say, bah, nonsense, it's irrelevant. So that's why the Beis Yosef says, pay attention. The tour initially did not say astrology. Initially the tour said sleight of hand, or saying this is the right time to do this act. Only later on with Rambam does he bring in that you're not allowed to do it based on astrology. The Rambam says it's all nonsense, you're not allowed to do it based on astrology. But that's not so obvious that everyone agrees on that. Okay, going back to what you were saying.
What time period is the tour?
The tour was 700 years ago. It was the son of the Rosh. Nope. I heard you. Take out a Rambam, learn the Rambam, and then learn the Rambam and Sefer HaMitzvos, and then learn again the Rambam, and then decide if that's what the Rambam said. Say that. You learned it for the first time tonight? Second time tonight? Say that. Let's continue. What? Okay. If again, you want us to sit on the Rambam, Bezrat Hashem, we'll sit on the Rambam. Okay. Rambam is reputed as saying that they're all nonsense. I think if you look closely in the Rambam does not really say that. I heard what you quoted. Okay. We'll continue. Says the Beis Yosef, the Mishnah says in the end of Perek Arba Misos, if someone does an action, he's chayav. If he only does sleight of hand, he's potter, it's prohibited, but he doesn't get lashes. Says the Rambam, if you do sleight of hand, you didn't do anything, you just make it look like you did something. So that's Ma'onen. The Rambam writes, Mechashef. We're still going to have to learn what is Mechashef. What is a Mechashef? We're near a wizard, okay. Good, you gave me a word I didn't have. A wizard. What's the difference between a wizard and a sorcerer? Don't quote me Harry Potter. saying that's what I began with. We have a limited vocabulary. It's very hard. Mechashef is chayav skila, says the Rambam, but that's only if he did acts of kishuf. But if he did sleight of hand, so then he doesn't get the biblical lashes. So he says, wait a second. Initially he wrote that if you did sleight of hand, you do get lashes. Then the Rambam writes, you don't get lashes because you didn't really do anything. So the Beis Yosef says, I'm not sure how to understand the Rambam. I think this is the pshat. He says, if you're just doing sleight of hand, so it looks like you did something amazing. You used mirrors. People thought you made a building appear or disappear. So they think you did something. You didn't really do anything. You just caused them to think you did something. So technically you did something to make them think you did a miracle, right? So then you should get lashes. The reason he doesn't is a technicality. We can't go into all these details. Says, okay, there are different ways of interpreting that seeming contradiction in the Rambam. We'll just finish off this last piece before we see the Shulchan Aruch. The Rambam says, Me'onen is those that based on astrology say this day is good to do this task, etc. Because Rambam rules like Rabbi Akiva, that Me'onen is one who goes based on times. He says this is the time, like he explained earlier. And the Rambam understands the Gemara to be saying, why does the sorcerer think this is a good day or a bad day? Based on astrology. But the Rambam says this is all lies. Tosfos writes that wherever you see the astrologers, Kaldai, those are the stargazers. Rashi says that Kaldai is not always stargazers. Sometimes it's Ov. We're going to see that Ov were those who asked of the dead. So Rashi says that sometimes the word Kaldai in Shas is not an astrologer. Tosa says always Kaldai is an astrologer. It says you're not supposed to ask the Ov. The Ov were those who would ask the dead. And in the Sifri it says you're not allowed to draw lots. Now, it says that the two are equal, drawing lots and stargazers. Yes. Goral v'chozeh b'kochavim chad amiltei she'en shalim b'goralot. You're not supposed to ask questions through lots. So the Ramban writes in a responsa, he says, you're not allowed to ask Kaldai. That means those who tell you astrology. He says, nonetheless, to say stargazing is sorcery is not an obvious thing. You see that Rabbi Chanina in Talmud says your mazel, your astrology, is what will define whether you're rich or not. Rabbi Chanina holds that your astrology is what will define a lot of things in your life. And even though we don't rule like him, but it would certainly sound like it's not Avodah Zarah if he holds that that's what defines things in your life. And it says, it sounds like you're allowed to listen to them and believe them. You see that by Avram. Avram says to God, I looked at the stars and I'm not supposed to have any kids. And Hashem says to him, we're going to remove you from that. Certainly sounds like Avram was allowed to access it. This is all the Ramban, what I'm translating now. You see that Rabbi Akiva was always worried about his daughter, because the stargazers told him she'd die on the day of her wedding. And it's only after she happened to stick the pin in her hair into the wall And then when she wanted to put it back in her head, she pulled out the pin from the wall, and at the end of the pin was a very poisonous snake that she had unwittingly killed. She had wanted to redo her hair. She took out the pin, put it in the wall, took a short nap, and was going to go back to the wedding, took the pin out of the wall to put it back in her hair. She takes the pin out of the wall, and she sees she stuck a killed the snake. She hadn't known the snake was on the way to kill her. Now, the stargazers had told Rabbi Akiva his daughter would die on the day of her wedding day. So then, Rabbi Akiva asked her, "What'd you do today?" And she says, "Oh, when everyone was eating, I saw there was a poor person, he was hungry. I took a meal from the wedding and I gave him to eat." Rabbi Akiva went out and said, "Hey, listen up, tzedakah tatzil mimavet. Her tzedakah saved her from death." But that sounds like Rabbi Akiva believed them. It's not, Rambam says it's all nonsense. Wait, says Ramban. You see, Rabbi Akiva was waiting till the year his daughter got married, till that night. He was always worried, what would be of my daughter? You have the story of Rav Nachman Ber Yitzchak. Also a story where he listened to the stargazers. You see, sometimes Hashem does a miracle and undoes what the stars have defined. But to say that it's all nonsense, as Ramban we see in Shas, not that way. And when Hashem does these miracles, He does them in a hidden way. Hashem can do things all the time. He cures a person, doesn't cure him. So we're not supposed to ask them, says the Ramban. But if you hear that the stargazer tells you, like they told Rabbi Akiva, "Hey, you Rabbi Akiva, your daughter is going to die on the day of her wedding," so then you're supposed to do more mitzvos. You're supposed to daven more. But if you see in the stars that there's a day that you shouldn't do your work, and you say, "Okay, then I'm not going to do my job on that day because everything will fall apart. I don't want to rely on it that I'll have enough merits to succeed on that day." Ramban says, "I think it makes sense. Don't go against the stars and assume you'll have a miracle. If the stars say you're not, then no." So we have this huge machlokes here. Rambam says it's all nonsense. You're not allowed to do any of this. Ramban says you're not supposed to pursue it. But if it comes your way, you don't have to ignore it. You see, Rabbi Akiva was worried about it. And if you happen to know about it, so then why should you rely on a miracle that you'll get out of it? That's Ramban. And there are those people who say, "I'm not going to start a job on a Monday or a Wednesday because those are days where the luck of the moon is not swift and I won't be able to finish the job the way I want." And the Gemara says that there were different opinions about how the moon and Mars affect one's luck. So he says, "What's going on here?" He says, "What you have to know is that it's not an accurate science. And it's not the way pious people behave. You shouldn't be checking this out. This is not the way you should behave." But Ramban takes the whole story out of idol worship. And he takes a totally different approach than Rambam. And Rambam wrote that whoever does something because of the stars, so then he should get lashes. The exact opposite from Ramban. Ramban says, "I think it's okay. If the stars tell you something, why should you assume you'll have a miracle? If you want to say, 'I'm not going to do it because of the stars,' that's okay," says Ramban. Rambam says, "Beat him up. No such thing. How could you say, 'I'm not doing it because of the stars'?" Rambam says, "Give lashes." Maimonides says, "Give lashes. You're not allowed to say, 'Because of the stars, I'm not doing it.'" Nachmanides says, "Well, if it came your way, you found out that that's what the stars really say, then why shouldn't you suspect?" Now, what he doesn't quote here is a different letter of the Ramban, where the Ramban writes that this was in ancient times where they really knew how to understand the stars. And today, they're charlatans. They know very little, and they speak like they know a lot, and that's why today they don't get it. They're all a bunch of liars. But here the Ramban didn't write that. In Torat Hashem Tmima, the Ramban writes that. I don't know, maybe you shouldn't listen nowadays, even according to Ramban. Rambam says it's all foolishness. And whoever thinks it's anything to real should know that he's one of the fools. And it's all nonsense. I don't want to say what he said. You'll have to learn Rambam. I translated it loosely. And Ramban says, the Beis Yosef says, the truth is you have the story of Ravilash and you have stories of the birds that tell you what's going to be. So he says, that's why it's not so clear that, he says, you shouldn't be too tough on people. Ramban says, take it easy. He says, we have questions whether it's exactly like the Rambam says. So Ramban makes it much more lenient. Ramban, we didn't yet discuss halacha. We didn't yet discuss how we rule in Shulchan Aruch. But what we've explored so far, and that's what I want you guys to see, is the breadth of opinions here. You know, what Rambam says is utter nonsense. Ramban says you have Gemaras that way. And the Nimuke Yosef also has a piece like this. It says, Lo tenachshu, those are those who check what's going on with the animals and the birds and the stars. And so Nimuke Yosef says, it talks about the birds and the stars. That's like we discussed earlier. People say, if I drop my bread, if I drop my stick, so it must be I'm not going to succeed today. Says Nimuke Yosef, that's idiocy. That's not. There's nothing connected to reality there. You dropped your stick, so you're not going to succeed today. As you were eating, you dropped your bread. That's going to say you're not going to succeed today. But if you know how to listen to the chirping of the birds, that says Nimuke Yosef, that's a wisdom. If you know how to listen to their chirping and know what the weather's going to be, what's happening in nature, he says there are those who do know. And that's permissible. Rav Ilash, it says, was told that the birds were chirping and he listened to what the birds said. But that's not what our Gemara is talking about. The Gemara says, is talking about, in our day we would say, a black cat walked across my path, I'm not going to go there. So they used to say, if this and this bird crossed my path, I'm not going down that path. That, says Nimuke Yosef, is nonsense. And that's what the Gemara is talking about when it says birds and stars and rats. That's the type of sorcery. We're talking about all kinds of nonsense. Chazal say the Jewish people are compared to the dove. Ah, wait a second. But David HaMelech was in the middle of taking a shower and a dove came. I'm sorry, Yoav was in the middle of taking a shower and a dove came and started beating at his shower and he looked at it and he said, wow, the Jewish people are compared to a dove. If the dove is bothering my shower, must be the Jewish people are in danger. David is the king of the people of Israel. Must be King David needs me. And then Yoav ran out of his shower, grabbed his weapons and went searching and found that David was almost killed. That Goliath's brother had caught him and he was torturing him and tormenting him and he was ready to kill him. And then Yoav came and saved his life. David. He had caught David and he was playing with him, tossing him in the air, beating him, throwing him down. I don't know. So how come he paid attention to the bird? We just said, don't listen to birds. Why did Yoav run out of his shower? So he says, that's not nichush. Because nichush is only if you say, if this is the sign, then for sure it's going to be this way. But if you say, if this is the sign, I have to check it out, that's allowed. So the Nimuke Yosef gives us a whole new way of looking at things. He says, there's a difference between saying the sign defines and saying the sign makes me wonder. Says the Nimuke Yosef. You see that people would only marry a woman when there was a full moon. They say it's a good sign. Ah, so you're willing to entertain signs. You're not allowed to say with the stars that they define for you. But if you see stuff in the stars and you know how to recognize how they affect things, that's not sorcery. It's a form of wisdom. It's a way Hashem decreed to rule the world.
That's what Abraham is doing.
Huh? So that's where Nimuke Yosef is separating. He says, you're not supposed to say, if this star crosses this path, then that's a sign A or B should happen. But if you know how to understand the movement of the stars and how they affect the world, that's a wisdom, it's a part of nature, it's a good thing to learn, it's fine. And that's why, if you know it, then you'll daven that Hashem should change your luck. That's the idea of mazel. Meaning, what the Rishonim are contending with is, you see in Shas, that there is such a concept of mazel. It's just a machlokas, how much it affects us. But that's what the Nimukhi Yosef and the Ramban are saying. There are forces out there that affect us. If you could analyze the stars correctly, and you learn the system, then you've learned another force in nature. That's not idol worship. And Hashem could change it all. If you look at it and you say, I can pray, that's fine. And that says, Nemuke Yosef, that's what Rabbi Akiva is worried about his daughter all the time. And ultimately she has the miracle because of her merits. But our sages said, you shouldn't think about this stuff. Our sages said, your life should be focused on the Creator. He's the one that decides what will happen. And it's His mercy that decides how things will play out for each person. And that's why our sages said, don't ask the stargazers. Even those that know what they're talking about. That's the Nimukhi Yosef. Rambam says, even looking at that is prohibited. And I don't agree, says Nimukhi Yosef. So Nimukhi Yosef and Ramban argue on the Rambam. Rambam says, don't ask any stargazers. That's all biblically prohibited. And Nimukhi Yosef and Ramban say no. If you could tap into the wisdom, you shouldn't be doing it. And Ramban even says, if you could learn the wisdom, Nimukhi Yosef says, it's a wisdom, it's part of the wisdom of how Hashem runs the world, why shouldn't you learn it? Says the Rama, I think that even Rambam only said it on things that science doesn't support. But if you can figure out things that involve medicine, that there are times where different medications will work better or different treatments will work better. You see, the Talmud told you don't let blood on a Tuesday. The Talmud told you which days were good or bad for letting blood. Wait a second, why is that permissible? Says the Rama. Says Abaye and Rava said, anything that involves a cure is not idol worship. It's not Darkei HaEmori. So, says the Rama, I would think that even Rambam would agree that things that pertain to medicine would be okay. Now this is a big sugya, alternative medicine. Okay, what? Okay. Rashba writes that anything that involves medicine is mutter. But anything that will only cure because of a segula, and that's the big question on homeopathic medication, they say, this metal, even though it's beyond Avogadro's principle, there's no molecular representation, but they say it still affects you. So that, he says, even something that affects because of that, even if there's no logical explanation, but it's going to cure you? That's permissible, says the Rashba. You're allowed to save yourself with that. The Rashba has this long response. And now that also needs work. It's not so simple. There's a lot of response written about homeopathic medication. Because what they say is we're going to mix a certain element and then dilute it. And they can dilute it in 13 million times. Not an exaggeration. 13 million times. And then they say, yeah, even though it's so diluted, it still has its impact here. Take it and it cures you. So Rav Moshe has what?
It gets more powerful the more it's diluted.
Okay, so Rav Moshe has a tshuva where he says it's nonsense. And says you shouldn't do it. So we had a child who had a rash on his body. And everything we did didn't work. Many things. They have all kinds of things. So, in homeopathic medicine. So we had a kid that had a rash and nothing worked. And we went to skin specialists and we went to the hospital and we went to doctor after doctor and they tried many different things and nothing worked. And the rash kept spreading and the kid couldn't sleep at night and the poor kid was suffering. So finally, it was a winter week like this week, and I said to my wife, I'm going to try homeopathic medication. I got nothing to lose. I took a picture of him, and I went to an homeopathic pharmacist. And I showed him the picture. Here, on Beit HaDfus. We had just finished class on Friday. It was a short Friday. And I ran over to the pharmacy on Beit HaDfus. And I brought him a picture of the kid and the picture of a few pictures of the rash. And the pharmacist looked at it, and then he said to me, can it be that the kid gets stung by mosquitoes or bees or something? I said, bees we don't have in the house. Mosquitoes are a possibility. It can be. But we've had this already. He looked at it. He said, okay, I'm going to make him a remedy for being stung by some kind of insect. I said, what's the remedy? He said, I'm going to take an insect and dilute it, and that's the remedy. So he didn't take just any insect. They have a certain insect component. How many times is it diluted? I think he was the one who told me 13 million times. That's where I got the number from. Tremendously diluted. Okay. He gives me this cream. He says, try it and tell me if it worked. He said, you know, I didn't see the kid. I can't be sure, but Shabbos is coming in and the kid is suffering. Try it. I put the cream on the child. 2 hours later, no rash. Before Shabbos. So I asked our doctor, I said, what do you say? I said, you know, you don't believe in this. I don't either believe in it. Rav Moshe says it's nonsense. What am I supposed to do with what my eyes saw? So he said to me, I would tell you that without the cream, 2 hours later, it would have stopped anyways. Okay, you can't argue with that, right? Right, so everything they did for over a month didn't work. But those 2 hours, that's what would have changed it. What can I say? So say there. Say the Gemara. I could give you more stories. Okay, the counter story to that is there was a couple who was married for a long time and they couldn't conceive. And so they went to a top homeopathic doctor in Bnei Brak. And she interviewed them for 2 hours. And after she interviewed them, true story, I know the couple firsthand. After she interviewed them, she said, I need to go over all your answers to all the questions, and then I'll come back with what you should take. So she takes her few days going over all the answers they gave. She punches in all the statistics. She comes back and says, okay, you should take causticum. Causticum. Okay, causticum is what the woman should take. She should ingest causticum. What is causticum? Some kind of mineral, I think. Okay, so they weren't sure if it was kosher. And it's mixed with whey sugar. So they weren't sure if it was kosher. So when they left the doctor, she said to them, I was the doctor in Russia of the Rebbe of Chabad. And the Rebbe of Chabad told me, not alternative medicine, then she was practicing conventional medicine. And the Rebbe of Chabad told me, you have to know, you have to do your ishtadlus to cure people. They have to do their ishtadlus to come to you. And at the end of the day, it has nothing to do with you and them. Their bon shalom decides when a person's cured. Everyone has to do theirs. They have to come to you. You have to do what you can do. But at the end of the day, Hashem is the one that cures people. And you always have to remember that. So as the couple was leaving her, she stopped them at the door and she said, we just spent 2 hours. I went over all your facts. I'm going to review all that. You came all the way to Bnei Brak. I'm going to do all the work. And at the end of the day, you have to remember, it's Hashem. You did your ishtadlus, but the Ribbono Shel Olam decides if you'll be cured. Okay. So they get the causticum. They go to Oplatka, the pharmacy across from the shuk here, from the Machne Yehuda shuk, and they get the causticum. And they can't decide whether they should take it or not. Doesn't exactly have a hechsher, but then Amnon was still alive, and he told them that it's kosher. He knows the ingredients. What are they going to do? So they decided they'd wait one more month. They'd waited this long, they'd wait one more month. And they became pregnant that month. And they never took it. Now had they taken it, everyone would have said, you see, it worked, right? But they became pregnant that month. So I like quoting that story to counter my story, right? So where does the truth lie? They didn't conceive all this time, and then when they went and did their ishtadlus, so you could say, right, the Rebbe of Chabad, that her answer was the right answer, that they did their ishtadlus. Okay, coming back here, so the Nimuke Yosef says, I don't agree with Rambam. And the minhag that we marry women on a full moon, that I wrote from the Nimuke Yosef, is also written in Nachmanides' Responsa, that it's not considered nichush, but Just as we do a good sign when we anoint kings, we do it by a running stream as a sign that their kingdom should flow and have continuum. So too, we get married as the moon is filling, and it's a sign that the marriage should be good. Just like when chatanim walk, they used to have trumpets where they'd blow out wine and they'd catch them in the trumpets. And the Gemara says that's permissible. It's a good sign for the couple, and it's not considered an act of sorcery. And the Baalei HaTosus, the Sefer Mitzvos Katan Smak, writes that the custom to begin a Masechta on Rosh Chodesh, that's a good thing. Why do we start on Rosh Chodesh? Because there are people who went to their families on Sukkot and Pesach, and it takes them a little bit of time to get back to yeshiva, so we wait for them. That's why the Zman doesn't start till Rosh Chodesh. It's not because it's a good sign. Ah, it's also because it's a good sign. Our sages say, you try to do things that are a good sign. It's not sorcery, you're not doing nichush, but it's a good sign. So with that...
What is a good sign?
To start on the first of the month. To get married with a full moon. To anoint a king by a running water. So what does it mean it's a good sign? So I'll say what Ramban says in Drashat Torah Tashem Tmima. The Ramban says a good sign means that, so to speak, you've already started, that there was already a realization in this world of the blessing. The sign represents that you started it. And we'll quickly just read the bottom line, what it says in Shulchan Aruch. After all the opinions we just read, I didn't hear you. Okay. Line. Says the Shulchan Aruch. You tell me who he's ruling with. Ein shalim b'chozim b'kochavim. Don't ask the stargazers. Who's the Shulchan Aruch going with?
Rambam.
Thank you. V'lo b'goralot. And don't ask lots. Says the Rama, because it says, Tamim tiyem Hashem Elokecha. V'kol sheken dasul lishol b'kosmim u'menachshim u'mechashvim. And certainly, you're not allowed to ask the sorcerers and those who do nichush, or the, what you call them, wizards. So, Shulchan Aruch sounds very clear that he is not going with the Ramban, he is not going with the Nimuke Yosef. Then we read the next sif.
The Nimuke Yosef on the Ramban?
No. Nagu she'en matchilim bebet vedalet. We have a custom though. We don't start on a Monday or a Wednesday. And that's okay. Ve'en nosin nashim ela b'milui levana. And we don't get married unless the moon is full, meaning the second half of the month. So that's okay. Ve'lachen ha'agu. So, on the one hand, he says, don't ask the stargazers. On the other hand, you have the Ramban that... it's not a good sign, like the Gemara says, that...
Are we going by the Rambam, by the opinion that the Rambam would agree to medical, the medical uses like the... So
the Be'er Agula understands that in this Seif, the Shulchan Aruch Paskin, like the Ramban and the Nemuke Yosef, that we do take on, like it says in the Gemara, that on Monday and Wednesday, the stars are tough, and if you start things on a Monday or a Wednesday, you're going to have a hard time finishing them. And that this is actually a quote from the Ramban and the Nimuke Yosef. So it's a gentler version of Ramban and Nimuke Yosef. On the one hand, he doesn't go with the Ramban all the way. He doesn't allow us to go to the stargazers and hear what they have to say. says, don't ask them. On the other end, he's saying, we have this minag, this is our custom, and that's okay. And the Rama adds, that's why we also start learning on Rosh Chodesh, because that's a good siman, that's a good sign. The Rama adds, he's going with the Ramban, if you happen to know that doing this now is against your fortune, is against the Mazal, lo yase, then he says like the Ramban, so then don't do it, and don't rely on an ace. But you shouldn't try to figure it out. Meaning that's the middle ground. He's saying don't try to figure it out. Don't try to know it. But if you happen to know it, like Rabbi Akiva was suddenly told about his daughter by the Kaldaim, so then he says, then
the Kaldaim that he knew were not frauds. Right.
Right.
That he trusted.
Right. Okay. So he says, you shouldn't look for this, but if you know it, you shouldn't fight it either. Respect it. So this is where he's going like the Ramban. He's not saying, oh, this is idol worship or no. He's saying, if you know it, don't disregard it. Don't look for it. You shouldn't search for it. But if it came your way, don't fight it. Choose a different path. Not like the Rambam, who says if you change courses because you found out that the Mazalot say not, then you're Chai of Malkus. Rambam says it's an Isul Doraita. Ramban says, no, you can do it. And the Rama is going with the Ramban clearly. Even the Mechaber sounds like he's going with the Ramban. And we have a rule that the Taz says, which we don't always know if it's always applicable, but the Taz says that whenever the Rama doesn't begin with Yesh Omrim, then the Rama is coming to define the Shulchan Aruch. He's not coming to argue on him. So here the Rama adds the continuation of the Ramban, and he doesn't say Yesh Omrim, so that certainly sounds like he's defining, which makes sense, he's defining the Shulchan Aruch. He's just quoting the continuation of that same responsa of the Ramban, which the Mechaber quoted. The question is, why did the Mechaber only quote that? The Shulchan Aruch only said, Nagu, our custom is not to start things on Mondays and Wednesdays. Okay, yeah, you were saying.
Rosh Chodesh. What about the fact that like the months themselves, certain holidays are in months, according to Zman Nes, or like, you know, like Nisan, there's Nisim and things like that, or there's this Bichlal Siman of Rosh Chodesh, it's like the beginning of something, so why wouldn't that be just enough of a good sign to begin something?
So he says that that's a good sign. The Rama says it's our custom is to begin learning on Rosh Chodesh. That is considered a good sign. I don't know if he would say to start a business on Rosh Chodesh. I don't know if he'd say to start a marriage on Rosh Chodesh. I don't know how these things work. But he says to start learning is a good sign.
So the Gemara in Tanya, if you find yourself in a court during you should postpone it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there you know that the fortune is against you.
That's the question. What does that mean, Ria Mazale?
Huh?
What does that mean? The Gemara says, Ria Mazale. You have bad luck then.
Also, yeah. It says there that it's because we have a history of bad luck.
Yeah. Because like we have a custom to learn in Rosh Chodesh. We have a custom that Av is a horrible month.
We will continue. Be'ezat Hashem, I told you there's a lot to learn. We're just starting. We just learned two halachot. There are another 17.
That was only two,
yeah. But these were two major ones. And we really are left with the questions that you're asking. Where am I allowed to use medicine? He didn't tell us yet. Where is it considered a sign? What does that mean? I'm allowed to... He's still going to discuss what Yonatan did, what Eliezer did. We're still going to get there. He's still going to bring all of that up. We'll get there. We're just in the beginning, but we don't have tremendous clarity here yet because what's our conclusion about Mazal? On the one hand, if I hear it, it's okay. On the other hand, I shouldn't search for it. So it sounds like he's ruling, at least the Rama is ruling against the Rambam. So that's a machloket. One opinion says en mazal d'Israel. One opinion says we can overcome it. And the Nimuke Yosef and the Ramban seem to understand yesh mazal. that we rule that there is a mazal, but we can overcome it. Not that there is no mazal. You're right, there is an opinion in Mazal Yisrael. For whatever reason, Ramban and Muke Yosef understood that we don't rule like that opinion. Yeah. So we started. We started. Yeah, very.